Welcome to the Employment Law and HR Podcast with your host, Allison Cauley.
Hello and welcome to this episode 17 of the Employment Law and HR Podcast. Thank you very much for tuning in. I hope you've been enjoying the podcast so far and that you're finding the content really helpful. What I do say every week is I ask for people to send me questions to answer. And this week's episode is a bit different than normal because I was recently invited in to speak on the Business Insight show of my local community radio station, Vectus Radio. And during that show, I answered a number of questions that were sent in by listeners to the show and various small businesses. And they cover a number of topics. And I thought it would be helpful for listeners of the podcast to hear the answers to the questions that were given. And just to remind you that if you have any questions that you would like answered on the podcast, then I'd be glad to receive them. They can either be sent by leaving a comment in the show notes, which is on the adviceforemployers.co.uk/podcast page, or by sending me an email. It's alison@realemploymentlawadvice.co.uk. Before I go into playing you the recording from the interview, I'll just give a bit of background about the Vectus Radio. So Vectus Radio is a local community station. They broadcast on DAB and internet radio. You can find them online and I'll put the links in my show notes. The good thing about Vectus Radio is they do a lot for local charities and for local businesses. They often host businesses on the show so that they can promote themselves. And they do a lot of work with the young in the community and helping them to get into radio and those sorts of things. So it's a really worthwhile cause and a great station to listen to. And then the co-host of the business show is Dale Howarth. Dale runs Jigsaw Sales and Marketing and provides specialist business and professional advice to businesses. And he is a professional speaker as well. And I will also link to his details in my show notes so you can find out more about Dale. And of course, the host of the Business Insight show for Vectus Radio is Darren Fernando. And those are the voices that you'll hear on the podcast as well. I hope you like the different format and that you find the answers interesting. Here we go with the audio from the Business Insight show on Vectus Radio.
When we're ready to introduce Alison, so many questions this week. We've got some here, others that unfortunately we just would not have the time to take. So really, really popular guest on the programme. Really, Alison's someone that I met about 12 months ago at a chamber networking event. So again, coming across this power of networking. Mm-hmm. Alison did a very, very good elevator pitch, and something I'm passionate about is people giving good elevator pitches. So I remembered what she said, and a short time later I had a client in Southampton that was having some employment issues, and their current legal advice at that time wasn't really moving the issue on. So I spoke to Alison, introduced her to the client, and she went over there and resolved all the issues, and she went on to do some other really, really good work with that client in terms of putting together very employee good handbooks. So certainly someone I've worked with on more than one occasion, done an exceptional piece of work, certainly for that client and others. So very pleased when I spoke to Alice and said, look, will you come on and give us a little bit of your insight in terms of employment law? And just really want to now ask Alison to say a little bit more about herself and about the business, you know, Real Employment Law Advice.
That's quite an introduction. Off you go.
Yeah. Thank you, Dale. That's very kind of you. So, as you said, my name is Alison Colley, and I'm an employment solicitor and a HR specialist. And I qualified as a solicitor in 2006, a bit of time ago. And until a couple of years, or 2013, I worked for firms on the mainland, and I was working with various types of clients, employers and employees. And then in 2013, I decided that I wanted to take a bit of control back myself, avoid my daily commute and provide my services in a different way. And so I set up my own firm, Real Employment Law Advice. Mm-hmm. I had to go through a number of hoops with the Solicitors Regulation Authority in order to be authorised, but I'm pleased to say I was. And since then, it's just been going from strength to strength. I've been advising employers and employees on the island and across the south of Hampshire on a number of issues. So things like employment tribunals, contracts and procedures, mm-hmm. And just various things that come up in day-to-day employment life, if you like.
And it's a complicated subject, so I know we'll try and do a little bit of justice tonight.
Well, it certainly is. When I was speaking to Alison off air, and she says that the law changes every 2 years. Oh, sorry, twice a year. I didn't know that. Mm. So it must be very complicated. But it's good that Alison is authorised. That's the main thing.
Yes. Right.
We've got an array of questions for you that have come through, Alison. And first one tonight is from Mrs. Finlay in Ryde. Hello, Mrs. Finlay. And she asks, can you explain the rules for parental leave and sharing leave, please? I think they've changed again for 2015, although in your view, does the government consider small businesses when making changes? It's okay for the big businesses, as they have whole departments to manage all of this, but as a small employer, there's only five of us. How can I be expected to know all of this?
Yeah, good question. And rather apt, really, because the changes to shared parental leave are coming in from April this year. So for children who are born after the 5th of April or who are adopted, then their parents would be entitled to shared parental leave. And I fully sympathise with Mrs. Finlay here on this one, because what's happened is this change in the law is part of the current government's move towards more family-friendly rights.
Right.
And that's why it's been introduced. But it's one of the, if not the most complicated piece of law that's come in for quite some time. And even for employment lawyers, we're struggling to really wrestle with the various issues that could arise from this. So I understand why employers are frustrated, I really do. And it seems ironic to me that the government have been trying to minimise the kind of rules and regulations that employers have to follow and make things more simple and streamlined, but this actually makes it quite complicated. But
I'm glad there's a but.
The but. Yes.
What I've been saying to my clients in relation to shared parental leave is that you need to know that it exists. You need to know that your employees might make a request. But actually, I wouldn't delve into the ins and outs of it just yet, because there is so much. There are so many possible different types of situations that might arise, that really, as long as you understand that this is something that's going to happen or could happen to you, and then if somebody comes to you, then deal with it at that time. And the best thing to do is to have a good shared parental leave policy in place, which sets out a summary essentially of what the regulations say that you can then refer to and refer your staff to, rather than worrying yourself about every possible issue that could arise.
Is that because the understanding of the issue is still developing? So although the legislation's gone through, people are still looking at the interpretation of that? So,
No, it's just because there are so many different... there are, basically, if I just explain briefly what it's about, essentially what it means now is that parents can share leave when they have a child or adopt a child. Previously, obviously, the mother would have maternity leave, but now the mother can forego her maternity leave after 2 weeks in most cases and then split the leave with her partner. So,
are these part of recent changes?
Yeah, this is what's coming in April this year.
Right.
Sorry. Yeah. So from April this year, if you have a man in your organisation whose partner is currently pregnant, that you could be getting an application from them to share the parental leave from April.
Sounds fair.
Okay. Another question that touches a little bit on the one that we are not specifically around parental leave, but certainly about changes and keeping up to date, is a Mr. Wood who asks, as a small business owner on the island, I find it very difficult to keep up to date with all the requirements and changes to employment law. I try to keep on top of this, but it is difficult. The advice can be confusing and the news seems littered with new changes and employee rights every week. I want to comply as fully as possible. Is there a better way to do this? I do want to be a responsible employer, but it's not easy as a small business, as we don't have the resources of the big companies to deal with all of this. So,
yeah, again, as I said, I do share the frustrations there, because employment law changes all the time. That's one of the things that I like about it, but I understand, obviously, as an employer, you've got to run your business and you don't want to be dealing with employment law every day. What I would say is if you have a good contract and you have good basic procedures in place, that's your foundation. And then if you don't want to be concerned with every single possible change, then you don't have to. That's where you would refer to an expert like myself. It's the same with your accounts, really, or payroll. You wouldn't struggle through that, so you shouldn't really What I would say is try not to struggle through yourself.
And are there services available from yourself or others that will help to keep people up to date on these things that they can subscribe to? Or
yeah, and that's one of the reasons for setting up my business is so that I could provide services to small businesses at a reasonable cost. I have a client, for instance, on the mainland who has a small tea room. She only has 4 or 5 staff, but she doesn't want to have to worry about when things change and what's going on. So she pays me a monthly fee, and for that she can call me anytime she likes whenever she's got a problem, and I will tell her the answer, so she doesn't have to worry herself, and she's got that reassurance of knowing there's someone there. So I would say to Mr. Wood is that you should find somebody that you can work with who knows what they're talking about.
Okay. Darren.
Okay, some good advice there from authorised experts. Alison. Okay, thank you for your question there. The next one we got comes in from Mrs. Tolworthy in Sandown. Good evening, Mrs. Tolworthy. And her question is, I have a member of staff that's been with me for several years and without a problem. I had a customer complain strongly to me about them being rude last week, and I'm not sure how to deal with it. I feel I should follow it up, but I'm worried that I might offend the member of staff and create a bad atmosphere in our small friendly team. But if I leave it, I'm concerned that it may happen again, and I should have acted. What should I do, please?
A bit of a quandary.
Yeah.
Well, I certainly wouldn't ignore it. I would sit down and have a chat with the member of staff on an informal basis, really just sort of bringing it to their attention in the nicest, most relaxed possible way, because if she's worried about causing an atmosphere and she doesn't intend to make a disciplinary issue out of it at this stage, then I would just bring it to the employee's attention, explain that the reason she's doing it is because it's fair that she does, and just to ask her for her account of what's happened. The problem if you don't bring it up is if it becomes a persistent issue and you haven't dealt with it previously, you would struggle then to rely on that previous incident. But if she has that informal chat with her and then perhaps makes a small note, a handwritten note of her own of the, you know, the content of the discussion and pop it on her personnel file, so that if this does become a recurring issue, then she's got a note to refer back to.
Is it common? I mean, I can kind of understand the issue. It can be very difficult, particularly for a small business owner, where they are working to develop, you know, a really good team, great atmosphere in the business, and suddenly you can get something like this that may be unfounded. You know, people have good days, people have bad days. So do you come across this sort of issue quite often?
Yeah, because most people go into business because they are good at what they do, or they enjoy their business, and they're not naturally sort of managers, or they don't naturally know how to deal with this, and they can find it quite difficult to do so. But, you know, ultimately, I think you are making a rod for your own back if you don't approach those issues. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to be formal, and you don't have to, you know, it doesn't have to be a disciplinary. It just needs to be a discussion with them to give them the opportunity, as much as anything, to have their say, because, like you say, it could be completely blown out of proportion.
Yes, yeah. Got another question. I know we're sort of moving on, but so many questions to try and cover. No particular name or company on this one, but the question that was put across is, I have an employee on maternity leave. They've told me that they're coming back, but I know that they've told other employees that they're not. At the moment, I have someone temporary in the role on maternity cover and would like to keep them, but I can only do that if the other person does not return. If I wait, it's likely, from what they've said, that no other employees, that they will return, but I'm likely to lose the person I have that's temporary, as they told me they're already having to look for another job because I can't guarantee them anything. What can I do, as I feel I'm being taken advantage of and will end up with nobody doing the job and then have to go out and recruit and train someone again?
So
again, another sort of quandary there.
Yeah, it is an interesting one, and something that people come up with time and time again. But unfortunately, there isn't really anything you can do. When an employee is on maternity leave, you have to keep their job open, and you have to assume that they're returning to work. And you know, as they quite rightly said in this question, it can be quite frustrating because, you know, the employee has got no intention of returning, but they're not going to tell you that at this stage because they want to keep their options open. So there is very little that this employer can do. I mean, they could offer a permanent position to the other, the temporary replacement, without it having an effect, and then see what the situation is at the time that the employee is returning to work. And if they intend to come back to work full time, then they'd have to deal with the permanent, the replacement.
Can they speak to the current employee to say, look, I know you've said you're coming back, but I'm hearing from other people that you've really no intention of doing that. Or is that just a bad thing to be doing, you know?
It's an interesting, because it's common sense, isn't it, to think, well, why can't I have this conversation with my member of staff? I would say, from a common sense point of view, you should just read into the person that you're dealing with. If you think that the employee on maternity leave is likely to take issue with that, or to raise a grievance or even discrimination or something, then I would avoid doing it altogether. But if you have a good working relationship with them, then there's no reason why you can't say, look, you know, let's have a chat about your intentions. I'm trying to plan for my business for the future. Obviously, we know you can come back to work. You know, the job's there for you. But it would be helpful to have an idea now. So, as I say, it's really a common sense approach.
Yeah. And that wouldn't necessarily affect the employee's rights or benefits up until the time they're meant to return to work.
No, if the employee says, well, actually, do you know what, I'm at the moment I'm pretty much undecided, but I'm 90% not going to come back, then, you know, the employer can give a bit of assurance to their temporary replacement that there will be a long-term job for them, obviously subject to the notice, you know, being given or resignation letter coming from the employer maternity leave. But then the employer maternity leave is under no obligation until they've put that resignation in.
Yeah. So as with all these things, treat it sensitively. If you can have a nice, relaxed discussion, then fine. Yeah. If not, don't get into something that you might subsequently regret.
Yeah. My best advice is to avoid any problems at work with your staff is communication. If you have good open lines of communication and you keep them open and you behave reasonably, then you're not likely to run into any issues, or less likely, should I say.
One thing I just wanted to move away from for a second is, you know, so many of these questions are about advice. You know, when you read into this, some of them are very specific in terms of, you know, how I'm meant to keep on top of this. Clearly in other areas people are struggling now. Alison, you do blogs, so how can people access that? Because, you know, that's something you do, it's freely available to people. So how can people access some of that insight that you have to help them through some of this?
Well, I try to put as much free information on my website as possible, which is adviceforemployers.co.uk. I have a fortnightly newsletter where I touch on some changes to the law and some best practice tips, and that's free to sign up to. And I have a fortnightly podcast as well, which again I talk about various employment issues that are coming.
And how will people access the podcast? Do they need to write to you to get a link for that?
No, it's on iTunes. It's called the Employment and HR Podcast. So you'll find it on iTunes and Stitcher, and also have a podcast link on my website, the Advice for Employers website.
Okay, so lots there.
Very briefly, we have a final question to squeeze in, as time's getting the better of us, as it always does on this show. We need an hour-long thing.
Indeed,
for this,
we do.
I think one of these days we will. Peter Holmes. Now, Peter Holmes says he runs a small engineering business in Sandown with 6 employees, including himself. And he's seen the advertisements regarding workplace pensions. He says, may I ask Alison Colley to clarify what my obligations are, please, under the scheme, especially if I'm required to do something automatically or to simply wait until I'm asked by my employees?
Yes, this is called auto-enrolment. It's something that's going to happen for every employer. There are various staging dates, and the best advice I can give is to speak to your payroll provider or accountant, or to enter your payroll number onto the government website. I don't tend to get involved in pensions, I have to say, because it's a really complicated and a bit boring. So, the best person to speak to is an accountant.
Right, so they should really speak to their accountant or seek some accountancy advice.
Definitely do so.
And quite a few of the accountants, I know Moore Stevens here on the island, which I know well, you know, they will give an hour's free advice to any company. So again, that could be something very easy to engage with.
So the best thing to do, Peter, is to knock on the door of your finance director and get that sorted out in the office.
Indeed.
Okay.
Thank you very much for listening. I really hope you enjoyed that. And it was a bit different to the normal podcast, but hopefully you got some great content from it. And as I said before, if you would like to leave me a question, I'd be happy to answer it on the podcast and to feature your business if you would like on the show. You can actually be interviewed and ask your question on the show, or I can just read it out for you. Thanks again for listening. Just want to finalise by saying I wouldn't be a lawyer unless I had a legal disclaimer. So I must just say to you that the information in this podcast is for information only. It's general review and a general update. It's always necessary to get specific legal advice about your circumstances. So please don't rely on anything that you've heard in this podcast, but please do feel free to contact me if you'd like further information or specific advice.